many of you know this, but over the course of the last few weeks, Yolanda has been sharing with us at before every Sunday what she calls her quarantunes list. And I sent those out again last night in case you missed it. But I was inspired by her quarantunes to do this sort of impromptu series that I've been doing the last few weeks on the Psalms, because the Psalms really were the quarantune list of ancient Israel. And today I want us to look at a psalm that I think is incredibly relevant to where we are today as a nation. This was a challenging week, and it seems like every week the challenges get bigger and bigger for us. Every week I keep thinking we've hit the bottom, but we find that there's more to the story. And even now, when I am tempted to think this is the end, we've already been told that the peak of this coronavirus is still at least a week away. You know, if you paid any attention to the news, even if you haven't wanted to pay attention to the news, you know the jobs report came out this week and some 700,000 people across America lost jobs this week. That's probably a conservative number, but that's the number that that came out. This also was a sobering week because we were told that some million people have now been afflicted with the coronavirus across the world. Those statistics are staggering, and they're overwhelming, and they're discouraging. But I happen to know, as your pastor, that as hard as it is to take in those big numbers, it's even harder to adjust to the reality of this situation in our own personal lives. I know that some of you have lost your jobs. You're wondering how God is going to provide. I know at least four or five people who have had surgery scheduled and have had to cancel it or postpone it because of the virus. And some of those surgeries are pretty important. And it's not only inconvenient, it's frightening to realize you need something taken care of and you can't quite do that. On top of that, several of you have lost loved ones. And in the midst of that, the nature of the social distancing means you can't be with them for the funeral. It's just hard to imagine all that has transpired in our lives in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Can you imagine if somebody told you a month ago that you would be taking your life in your hands to go to the grocery store? But that's how we feel. That's what we're up against. And I didn't want to tell you all that to focus on those things. Those are the things you're already thinking about. I wanted to focus your attention on a psalm, Psalm 118. This was considered Martin Luther, the great reformer's, favorite psalm. And I must say, when I first started studying this and looking at this, I thought, I wonder why Martin Luther liked this psalm so much. But as I have worked on it and thought about it this week, I realized that this is a psalm of a victory, a psalm of thanksgiving. And it's a psalm that I think has a lot to say to us. In these unsettling days, this is a psalm of victory. Now, if you're to understand this psalm, you need to realize that this psalm, the best way for me to think about this is to realize that this is a psalm that was really a victory parade. Think about this as you read through this psalm, as we look at it together. Think of it not so much as the psalm of one writer, or even as a procession. It is a procession. As you read through this, you'll see the people are making their way up to the temple. But this is more than just a processional psalm in which different people take a part. This is a victory. This is a victory parade. And in this parade, there is for us words of hope. In case you miss it, don't miss it. It's pretty hard to miss. This psalm tells us what it's all about if you just read where it starts and where it ends. It begins with these words: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And it ends with these words: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. These bookends on this psalm are the words that the people in this day reflected on, the words that we need to reflect upon in our day. Now, I realize that giving thanks to God is not necessarily the sentiment that we all have uppermost in our thoughts and in our hearts these days. But I hope before we are done with this psalm today that you will see that we have much for which to give thanks. I realize that when so many of the things that we rely on for our hope, for our security, when those things are threatened, it's hard to be truly thankful to God. But that's why this message at the beginning and the end of this psalm is so important. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You see, if we understand God's goodness, if we know that a good God is in control of the circumstances that we don't understand, that we can't control, circumstances that are discouraging and frustrating and frightening, if we don't think about the circumstances but the one who's in control, then we have reason to give thanks. Let me just give you an illustration that came to my mind as I thought about this. Our son Hudson, our grandson Hudson, is now 7 months old. When his parents, Carrie and Lindsay, decide that they have to take away his favorite toy for some reason, Sue and I, who happen to love Hudson very much and happen to be huge advocates for him, don't get nearly as upset with his parents as Hudson does. I mean, when Hudson loses his favorite toy because his parents take it away from him, he doesn't know. At 7 months old, he doesn't understand. We, as his grandparents, trust that Carrie and Lindsay have Hudson's best interest at heart. They may take the toy away because they know he needs to have something to eat, or he needs to have a diaper changed, or he needs to take a nap. Some of those things are not things that Hudson would choose for himself, but his parents, who love him, whose parents are good, can be trusted even when those things that bring him comfort and security are taken away. And in a similar way, in our day, in our time, when we find our securities, our hopes threatened, if we remember this one thing: our God is good, and his love endures forever. If we are deprived of something that brings us comfort, that brings us satisfaction, that gives us joy, if we just look beyond that to the character of our God, we will find that there is reason to give thanks. So even in these days, there is cause for thanks. Similarly, when I think about how this psalm begins, praising God, realizing how hard it is sometimes for us to praise God and to give thanks to him, I realize as well that quite often we have a hard time seeing God's richest blessings when things are good. I I wanted to show you this this slide because I'll get it yet. Those of you who don't recognize what this is a picture of fireflies at night. And one of the things that I've come to realize is fireflies exist in the daytime. I know that because occasionally, especially as it gets closer to summertime, I'll find a firefly in my office. Now, in the daytime, it just looks like a beetle, but at night, that same bug is the one that lights up at night. And I've come to realize that like those fireflies, there are innumerable blessings that surround us every day. But sometimes because of all of the blessings that surround us, all that we have, we don't see the fireflies. In other words, sometimes the beauty of what God is doing is only apparent to us when the times are the darkest, when the night has come. And we have, as Americans, as New Yorkers, as healthy, financially secure people, we've been living in times surrounded by great blessings. And we sometimes miss out on the fact that we are still surrounded by thousands of God's tiny blessings that we will only see when we stop to look at them in these days when the time is the darkest. Well, let me just get us back to this psalm. It's a long psalm, so we won't spend a lot of time with each verse, but I want to give you the overall feel for it and an understanding of it so you can appreciate it. As I have said, this is really a victory parade, a victory celebration. So let me just give you how the psalm breaks out, and then I'll just talk to you about it. In verses 2 through 4, you find that the people are praising God. They're praising God because this is a victory celebration. God has granted them a great victory. Then in verses 5 through 21, the king, who is the leader of these people, shares the great deliverance that God has brought. Now, obviously, these are Israeli people, not Americans, so it's not an American victory parade, but this is to give you an idea. Think of a ticker tape parade, and the people are praising God as they're marching up to the temple. Then in verses 22 through 27, the people respond again in praise to God, as we will see. And then finally, the psalm ends with everyone, the king and all the people, praising God. It is a victory parade in which everyone takes a part and everyone has something to share and to say. So let me just look at it real quickly with you, because I think you'll see, as I did, as I looked at this psalm, that it is a celebration that we can enter into both emotionally and spiritually as we think about what it says. Again, he says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And then different people echo in on what God has done. Let Israel say, the whole of all of those who are assembled, his love endures forever. And then it says, let the house of Aaron say, the priests, his love endures forever. And then he calls upon all of the people, let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. And let me add, as your pastor, let the people of First Baptist Church say it with me, his love endures forever. That is the feeling that you get as you think of yourself being in a throng, in a victory procession, celebrating God's goodness. And as the people celebrate God's goodness, the king steps in. And he tells about how God has delivered the people. So in verses 5 through 21, these are the words of the king as he reflects upon what God has done. He says, "In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as a burning thorn bush. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off." Do you see this repetition? The king has been delivered. He's been delivered by the power of God, by the name of God, by the right hand of God, we will see. And he realizes that he has been victorious. His people have been victorious, but it is because God has fought for them and God has delivered them. He says, in verse 13, "I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things." This is the psalmist's testimony. In a time of great need, he cried out to God, and God delivered him. In God's name, he was protected and delivered. By God's mighty right hand, he was set free. As I think about this testimony from the king, I think many of you, many of us, are praying these same things. We feel pushed back and about to fall, but God will help us. He is our strength. He is our song. He is our salvation. As you find yourself fearful, afraid, wondering, this psalm is looking at the crisis from the other side. The deliverance has already been granted. It's already been given. And now they are looking back and they're seeing how God has provided. The king is recounting it, and it's by God's hand. Think about it. In these days, you turn on the news and you see the stories of the healthcare workers who are frightened, who are exhausted, who are understaffed, who don't have enough equipment, who don't have the protective equipment. And you can tell by the way that they talk that they're frightened. They're overwhelmed. That's how this king felt. He was overmatched. He was outgunned. But it was by the Lord's right hand. It was by the power of God's name that he was delivered. I have to tell you, in total honesty, that just because you're a Christian, just because you trust in God, just because you pray to God, that doesn't mean that you or I will be exempted from this virus, or that we will be delivered from sickness or a job loss. Some of you already have faced some of those things. But we are standing on this side of the battle. 6 months from now, a year from now, we will look back on this battle, and like this king, we will see how God has intervened. And we too will be able to shout the victory because of God's intervention. And even this side of it, there are times when you know the thing God wants you to do. You know that you need to step in and help someone, even if it's at the risk of your life. Because you do it in God's name, you can do it without fear. Because God has this. I'm not promising that you won't suffer consequences. I can't even promise that you won't die. But I can promise that our God is eternal, that our hope goes beyond this earth, that what God wants to do is far greater than our comfort, than the here and now. So we can praise God because God is good and his love endures forever. The king says, I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks for you have answered me and you have become my salvation. The king ends his celebration of God's deliverance by asking that they open the temple so he can go into the temple to give his praise to God. And so the king and all of this parade procession enter into the temple. And that's where the next section of this is in verses 22 through 27. Here, it's not just the king who is praising God. It is all of the parade people, all the processional. They say the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, Lord, save us. Oh, Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. So all of the parade moves into the presence of the altar to give their sacrifices of praise for God's great deliverance. This is a victory parade. And perhaps as you read this psalm and you think about this parade, you begin to think, where have I heard some of this psalm before? Because this psalm is, verse 25 anyway, is one of the most quoted verses in the New Testament. Every one of the Palm Sunday passages quotes verse 25. Oh Lord, save us. Oh Lord, grant us success. You see, as Jesus came into Jerusalem on that donkey, they were having a victory parade. They were looking back to God's deliverance in the past, anticipating his deliverance in the future. The psalm ends this way. Everyone joins together, the king and all of the people in the processional. The Lord is God. He has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hands, join the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will give you thanks. I believe this is the king speaking. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. If I can get my screen working again. We of all people have reason to give thanks, even in these dark days. Because we realize that the God that we trust in is a good God. The God we trust in ultimately has won the victory. The God we trust in is the God who sent his son to this earth. He came as the king that first Palm Sunday. He came so that we had the hope that God would work all things after the counsel of his will. I don't remember the Western. There was a movie that Sue and I watched probably 5 or 6 years ago. And as I thought about it and tried to figure out which Western it was, I realized that It's like a whole lot of different Westerns. But it's the story of a marshal who came into town, and the town was run by a corrupt sheriff who had everything under his control. And it really is the story of this good marshal coming to take back the town and to save it. And as I thought about that story, that Western, I thought in some ways that's the picture that we have of Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem that Palm Sunday. You know, if you watch the Western, you know that just because the new marshal has come into town, that doesn't mean that's the end of all the fighting and all the corruption. In fact, in the movie, that's when all the fireworks really began, because the corrupt mayor rallied all of his cronies and went out against this marshal. And it was a major battle. And in some ways, as I think about it, that's where we find ourselves in 2020. You see, the king has come. He rode into town, and there is now a new sheriff, but this sheriff hasn't totally taken over the town. We still live in a world that has fallen, a world that has disease, a world that has corruption, a world that has insecurity. But there is a new king. And we, of all people, realize that he has already won the victory. Oh, there's a lot of mopping up to do. We're living through some awful days. But we know who wins. That story from Palm Sunday is a victory celebration. The king has come, and we know it. The victory has been won, and we will see it. And so we, of all people, have reason to praise God. We, of all people, have reason to thank God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His goodness is seen in Jesus Christ, the one who loved you so much that he was willing to lay down his life for you. The one who loved you so much that he gave himself so that you don't have to pay the penalty your sins deserve. The one who came into this world, not just to save our souls, but to save our world. And one day we will experience a world that is not fallen, that is not subject to sickness and disease and sin and corruption. We, of all people, of all days, have reason to praise God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord God, help us in these dark hours to see the many, many points of blessing that you have given to us. Help us when the times are toughest to realize that you are still good, that you are still working out your plan. Help us when we feel overwhelmed and outnumbered and undersupplied to realize that you fight for us and you go with us. Lord, thank you for this reminder from your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.